The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You and Joe need to behave. Yeah. We got to be out of here within an hour or two. We can't be here all fucking day. I've already been censored, bro.
We have four hours of interview. It was actually 8 hours. We had to cut half of it.
Well, I was trying to mark that. He's like, well, you did like 3 hours with him, dude. We were there until like midnight.
Oh yeah, no, we did
like two more episodes. Yeah.
Dude, there was like four lawsuits of material that had to be cut out of this original segment.
If we didn't tell you already, you are the only person we've ever had to edit anything ever for. We're Mind Pump Raw.
We should give you a trick.
We're Raw
that.
Fitness, bro. Yeah. We fucking say everything. Yeah. You're the only fucking guy to edit.
I'm not sure if I feel complimented or I don't know, complimented and embarrassed at the same time, I guess.
Well, we have about 4 hours of cut episodes that we're going to save just in case something ever happens. We can just release it out into
what are you implying? Like I die? Like
something happens to one of us. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Blackmail. Yeah.
It's in a time capsule somewhere. So welcome back, Mr. Joe Donnelly.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah. Excellent. So you look bigger. What's going on here?
Yeah, right?
I mean, I think that's part of the optical illusion of you're just not used to seeing my manliness up close.
Yeah.
You're a little excited. Because remember last time.
It's too virtual.
Remember last time we were at lunch, you're like, man, you're a big guy. Then by halfway we're, you know, recording, you're like, but you're really not that big a guy. Like, you don't look like you're on steroids. You just look like a normal big guy. And by the end, you're like, yeah, you're really not that big.
You look like a normal guy.
I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I went from like, I look like a big natural guy to now he's just telling me I look like a normal guy.
Yeah. I think I got to get
it's a flip flopper.
Yeah. It's when the erection starts to subside. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's when I start to realize.
It's like when you do like three shots of tequila and you're talking to a girl at the bar, you're like, man, you're like, she looks hot, you know, and then the tequila starts to wear off later, like, what is that little thing on her lip? And you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
The reality starts to set in. Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yikes.
Yeah. So what's going on, brother?
You know, man, just same old, just cranking away in business and you know, and I try not to get too involved in the social media stuff, but it's been highly entertaining.
There's a lot of shit going
There's a lot of stuff
fires
going on,
going
man.
Around,
it
man.
Is man, but it's just it's like being a comedian, people just throwing you material. Like, you know, in our group text, it's like, man, like, you know, you sent me that link the other day and I was on a conference call and I'm like, I don't have time to look at this. And I saw Adam's response. I'm like, all right, hold on. I'm like, I gotta let's look at this real quick. And it's just, there's some people out there that are just, they can't help themselves.
Yeah. There's, you know, I know we have big mouths and we're kind of pissing a lot of people off, but,
I mean, here's the deal. I hate to interject real quick, but if you're pissed off by the truth, then that's a you problem.
All right.
You know, everybody appreciates someone being direct and being truthful until it's about them, then you're an asshole. So, you know, the sensitive people in the world, you know, where are they really going? If they get hypersensitive about someone speaking the truth or speaking well articulated and formulated opinions on something, you know, it's like you're not just a gas bag on a radio saying stuff. I mean, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. It's just we tend to put things out there in a very abrasive manner. And if that's not to your liking, well, maybe being successful and happy isn't either. So go fuck yourself.
Well, you know, we were just talking off air on, you know, a subject that it's almost become like a truth in fitness. But we know for the most part that it's not true. And this is the whole protein intake dispute that's been going on for a while now.
Yeah.
But for a long time, people have assumed that you need to eat this just shit tons of protein in order to build muscle. And you were just telling us about how you met someone the other day. That was that had been informed to eat, you know, something like 400 grams of protein a day.
Absolutely. There's a guy at my gym, and my buddy Mark, my training partner Mark is here also, and he'd been telling Mark and I for months, and he'd be getting blood tests, flying to San Diego, seeing specialists. You know, he was working with one of the top trainers in our area, and had his, you know, this diet and everything, and I never really looked at his diet, but I was kind of just getting snippets of what he was telling me, and then finally, I'm like, dude, just email me so I can see it all on a piece of paper. And the guy was taking in like 380, 400 grams of protein. It was a typical bro diet. It was like, you know, 6 ounces of salmon at meal three with like 12 almonds. Like 12 fucking almonds. Like why is it 12?
It's very specific.
Not 13. Like eight was too little, but 15 right. was too much.
It's the magic number.
Yeah. You know, then it was like 1 tablespoon of some type of coconut oil and then like, you know, rub it between your wrists and throw salt over your shoulder. It was like black magic fucking stupid potion stuff. And I'm just like, this is, I'm like, dude.
But it's worked before.
Yeah. It, you know, like, I mean? Listen.
But he can't refute it.
He's like, Jay Cutler did it in 94 and he's placed second at the Great North American and blah, whatever. Okay, right. Fine. I'm like, dude, how about this? How about just eat 200 grams of protein and like 75 grams of fat and like 200 grams of carbs and just let's go from there. And 2 weeks later, he's like, man, my digestive issues are gone. I don't have inflammation. I'm like, well, you're also not eating 36 eggs a day. Like, I haven't eaten 36 eggs in a month. That's in forever.
How did he take that initially when you told him, cut your protein in half? Well, I have people freak out.
Yeah, at first, he was, when I mentioned to him, he's like, well, I don't know. And I go, well, are you tired of, you know, working out hard in the gym and all this stuff and still looking like a, you know, a fat tub of shit? And he was, I mean, that's pretty much what I said. I mean, he kind of looks like Dan Le Batard from ESPN. Yeah. He just looks like
very soft
like a big so guy. You know, his best feature was his beard, unfortunately. But he trains hard. And he's a hell of a nice guy. And so I kind of just beat him down a little bit verbally and he gave in. And now it's like, and not only has all his digestive issues gone, he was just telling Mark and me, he's lost like 20 or 22 pounds and he hasn't changed anything. He's not doing tons of cardio.
Just protein.
It's just cutting back his protein, getting his digestive tract in order, getting his calories right. You know, he's got more energy, feeling more efficient. And I'm just like, you know, certain PhDs out there can cite, you know, one study specifically saying you got to eat more protein if you work out. But the proof is in the pudding. Like, I can't tell how many competitors, I'm sure you guys have too, have women who have come back and been like, yeah, I cut my protein back and, you know, like the bloating in my stomach went away and I feel better. I'm like, yeah, like, no, dude, like you're taking in 300 grams of protein and you're 120. That's like crazy. I'm 260 and I take in 230.
And you know how hard it is to get that because I'm in that range, right? Which getting 207 grams of protein
is a lot of protein.
Is fucking work, dude.
It really is. Yeah.
it's work. So I just picture these poor little bikini girls that are fucking just
throwing
the protein powder straight in their mouth
eating
and
the whole
shit.
Tub.
Oh. Somebody needs to make a meme of like a girl sitting, like a cartoon girl sitting at a table and it says only 11:57 on the clock and they're like
200 grams of protein
and they're,
to go.
Yeah, they're like 38 more grams
here comes the steak
and the boyfriend's like you can do it and he's got like a big bloated belly.
Well, it's become the macronutrient that's like you can't do wrong with it. More is better. And why is that?
Like, because you said it's in cereal.
What's the numbers? You know that, so you know the business better than all of us in here in terms of sales and stuff. What are the top selling supplements in the fitness industry? It's just protein powders, right?
It's your protein powders, yeah.
Period.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By far. So it only makes sense that they're going to continue to say you need to have, you know, so much protein. Yeah. And the only way you can reach that amount is by taking powders.
You can't do that with solid food. I mean, if you did, you'd be digesting all day and you'd feel like shit.
Right.
So that's when people are like, well, so-and-so bodybuilder eats 6 to 8 meals, so it must work for him. And I go, listen, little men's physique bikini guy or bikini competitor. Yes. I'm so used to making up words that I'm just
men's bikini.
Now when I try to be serious, yeah.
Such
men's
a
bikini
dick, bro.
Figure Zeke, whatever.
Figure Zeke.
So like, listen, little person who takes in 250 calories per meal. You're different or taking over 7 or 8 meals versus so-and-so bodybuilder who has 1,200 calories per meal or 1,500 calories per meal, and he's taking in 6 or 7 meals. Like, those are big meals. He needs a lot of meals to get that food in. I'm like, you're just doing yourself a disservice. Like, when you've made that post the other day about, you know, meal frequency and eating the same foods, like, it was dead on. And people, like, flipped out about that. And I'm like, okay, but that's because you don't know any better. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been taught a certain way to do things, and your mind is so closed off. And I love that people come back and they're like, well, Dexter Jackson or Jay Cutler does this. I go, well, guess what? When you're in the pump-up room backstage at the Olympia and Jay Cutler's giving you a high five to go on, I'm like, then tell me, hey man, you were wrong. And I'm like, you know what, it did work for you, you're wrong. But I'm like, right now it's not working for you.
Yeah. Okay. And they don't realize, they have no concept that they have almost nothing in common with those guys.
Nothing.
Zero. These guys are anomalies, not even the right word.
Right.
Just even if you took away the drugs that these guys took, they are they're so far far away from the average person in terms of their genetics. Yeah. And it's not just their genes to build muscle. These guys have incredible, and people don't realize this, digestive genes.
Absolutely.
Like, they have the ability to eat and assimilate food and it, for it to not destroy them.
Well, that's what makes them so special. That's what makes them the 1% of the 1%. You know, there's very few men that walk around the earth that look like that, regardless if they're anabolically enhanced or not.
Well, look at like any like pro athlete. Like they say J.J. Watt eats 9,000 calories a day, and people, I've seen this comment a million times. Well, if I trained for 5 or 6 hours, no, you couldn't. No, you still couldn't. You could go out and do a triathlon every day, and you still couldn't go through 9,000 calories. The fact that their body can process that food fast and convert it into energy, and they can use it, dude. If you try to eat 9,000, go next time. Go fucking have a huge Thanksgiving dinner and see if you feel like going to the gym after. You've been in a food coma and you probably ate 2,000 calories.
Yeah, if an average person eats that much, they would become 400, 500 pound obese individual. Yeah. But even then, even with people, and this is another thing I just realized this actually a few weeks ago. I was watching, I don't remember the show. It was a documentary where they have the super obese on it.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it. Anyhow, they were showing the amount of calories these people were eating to achieve their 500-600 pound body weight. And they were eating, you know, 7,000-9,000 calories a day. They also have the ability to digest, because if I or Adam or Justin tried to get that heavy with that much food, we couldn't either. There's a genetic component in all of it.
And I'll be honest, so like everybody knows that I, you know, regularly consume 7,000-8,000 calories a day, but I don't do it in solid food because I couldn't. Like, I mean, I ate, you know, what, I ate 2 boxes of Pop-Tarts the other day, so I ate like I was losing weight, so I had a good, you know, almost like 4,000 calories just in Pop-Tarts.
What kind, though? Is it like strawberry or cherry or what?
Okay, so there is a little bit of chemistry about, like, you know, you have to, a little bit of science behind it. So you have to alternate between strawberry, and then there's the bacon maple, which you put in, and then you switch to the cinnamon brown sugar.
Like a fucking sandwich?
Yeah, because if you go too much, then you will shut off your receptors to the polysupinated glucose.
Oh, that makes sense. Shuts off. I work
the maple bacon. Right. I work the maple bacon. I get a little bit of that protein, a little extra saturated fat. I do some hammer curls to work the lower bicep. I get a good pump.
Oh, no, he said lower bicep.
And I take 4 scoops of
Doug, are you writing this down?
Of discredited PhD protein. And I do some more lower bicep curls, and I shave my head and get some tacky tattoos.
And pose in a Photoshop picture in front of a Lamborghini.
Not specific enough.
Not at all. Yeah. Let's talk training, dude. How's your training going, Joe? You've been deadlifting now. You've been sending me text messages. Because you weren't deadlifting before because of injury, I think.
Yeah, well, I haven't deadlifted for so long because you know, my left shoulder, when they reconstructed the AC joint, has essentially it's a piece of chicken wire with a little band over that goes and it cuts through that clavicle and types of so I haven't been doing it.
So heavy downward force, you don't...
Yeah, like I haven't been shrugging heavy, but I was like, you know what, my shoulder muscles, it's been about 7 years, so I'm like, so I started deadlifting, and I really, really enjoying the feeling. I'm like, fuck it, if I get hurt again, I have another surgery. What's the big deal? Like, I get a free prescription of Vicodin or Percocet with it. It kind of weighs itself out. Yeah,
winning.
You know? Adam will hit me up, be like, hey man.
Adam will hit me up. I'm like, I heard.
I'm sorry about your surgery.
Smell it in the air.
But do you have any Percocet or Adderall left?
Oh my god.
Think you could crawl out of bed and send me FedEx me something? Yeah. I've been heavy, you know, stiff-legged deadlifting, but I haven't done regular, you know, heavy deadlifts because I knew, having you idiots as friends, I see your videos, I'm like, well, fuck, well, I'm going to have to go do 500.
I was just going to say that. I was like, this motherfucker, he wasn't even deadlifting before, and now it's the only thing we have on our Instagram that we lift heavier than him because he doesn't have a video yet.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's going to be one.
I already know.
I want it to be one.
Well, you were pulling in the sixes.
My goal is I want to be able to squat, like I told you, I want to be able to squat 600, and then I want to be able to deadlift it back-to-back superset with no rest.
So 600.
Yeah. I'm not there yet.
You have a 700-pound deadlift, and you no problem, I think.
I don't know. My form needs a lot of help. I'm very strong to my lower back, my posterior chain, but I need to be coached, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I told you, like, I was with Mark one day, like, you know, I had, like, 545 in there, and I went and did a sumo style, and I just dropped it, and I switched my grip to regular and just did it. So I'm just kind of figuring out as I go, but there's a difference between, okay, you're strong from other lifts, but using proper technique. And so that's what I'm finding with, you know, like, you know, certain people squat a certain way. You know, the length of your femur makes a difference. So for me, it's really... you know,
finding your sweet spot.
Yeah, finding my sweet spot and what's comfortable for me. And, you know,
we talked about this before in a podcast that, you know, deadlifting and squatting, typically you're really strong in one or the other.
Right.
You know, you rarely find a guy who just dominates both squatting and deadlifting. It's just, and because we're all made up different. And it is, a lot of that is just feeling out. God, I felt like I was fucking deadlifting 3 times a week for God knows how long, trying to find that. And it took me probably a solid year before I finally felt like, okay, I'm in the groove. This is, and you can just get right underneath the bar.
It's, because there is something to be said for, you know, when I'll watch a shorter guy deadlift, I'm like, okay, I'm looking at his form. For someone, I see a taller guy do something, I'm like, okay, I'm like, his hands aren't as wide. His, you know, his stance is a little different. So you want to mirror someone who you think has a similar body type to you. Whereas if you mirror someone who's like 5'9", and you're like, man, he's a great deadlifter, his body type may not, you know, assimilate to yours, and so you may be picking up tips that are incorrect.
Yeah, I've seen tall, skinny guys who just with the squat weren't that good, but could pull a shit ton off the floor. And these are guys that almost look lanky.
Yeah,
and I've seen them pull, you know, 600 pounds off the floor.
From a physics standpoint, that makes sense. Leverage wise, you know, saying, because you're hinging like that, that would make sense to be that way. It'd be more difficult for you to squat because you got a longer distance you got to travel, or the hip hingement would.
Well, I would think with your squat being so strong, do you find yourself trying to squat the weight up when you're deadlifting versus pulling?
So at first, that's what I was trying to do. Okay. And then Mark and I were doing one day where I was doing heavy stiff-legged deadlifts. And I'm really strong on heavy stiff-legged deadlifts. So I was just like, maybe I'll do my deadlift a little more like a stiff-legged deadlift, right, but, you know, bend my knees a little more. And I found to be more comfortable with that because I was trying to squat it up more. And it was just, it just felt a little bit awkward.
Well, see, if you have a good stiff-legged and a good regular squat, you should be able, you're right. It's all about form and technique. You're going to be able to pull. I predict 700 pounds is in your future if you just practice the form.
We'll see.
I mean, because if you're pulling the mid-sixes now and you're squatting 600 pounds of shit.
We'll see.
Yeah, because I can barely squat 400, but I could pull.
That's why I'm excited that we found out you can do just the deadlift competition, because I want to be able to see you do that.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that they did that.
That guy told me that you can be a specialist. You can just compete in one of them.
So do they have a one-arm dumbbell curl competition?
We've talked about,
I know, because he's been looking for that.
One-arm dumbbell press.
Yeah, a one-arm dumbbell curl competition.
I want to put Doug and him. Doug can fucking pull too.
Yeah, I know Doug's strong.
Doug's pulled 400 pounds.
What do you weigh, Doug?
155.
Damn. Yeah, he pulls 400. 155.
Do they have age categories over 80?
Yeah.
This would be just him and Mike O'Hearn. And both of them passed the drug test.
Excellent. So what's up with how's your business going? How's that? Anything in the future looking?
Things are going very well. We're just kind of releasing the second version of a couple of our supplements. The pre-workout's, been unbelievable, but, taking it to a new level, take the citrulline, ingredients up a little bit and stuff. So, it's just the business has taken off so fast that it's allowed us to put money back into the company and then expand. And so.
Excellent. Now let's talk about citrulline for a second, because that's an ingredient you find in a lot of pre-workouts, but they put them in a proprietary blend.
Well, I think that you're finding it. You don't find it in a lot because most people are still basing it off poor science. They're using arginine. Yeah. Do you arginine or arginine?
I don't know. I just read it.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Mark knows.
Yeah. So is it arginine or arginine?
Okay. So you said it right.
But you're seeing more companies move towards it, but they're still way below the efficacious dose, So, anybody ever looked at the back of a C4 container? I mean, it's, well, you guys aren't sponsored by Cellucor.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No,
right.
No. To me, we're not sponsored by anybody.
Yeah. I can't imagine why. Sal makes a post totally saying that pre-workouts don't work. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. That was really awesome.
And then Joe texts me afterwards, fuck you.
Dude, I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, we're trying to do business with you guys. I'm like, that was really awesome.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody doesn't like us.
I was annoyed. I'm like, dude. And he's like, man, he's like, other than like caffeine and like creatine, you don't need anything. I'm like, beta-alanine or betaine doesn't do anything. I'm like, citrulline. I'm like, well, maybe. Then I got mad at him. I was like, well, maybe if you use those ingredients, you'd have more gains. Like, when you can't argue science with someone, just argue that you're bigger than them.
There you go. That's a good angle.
But then
he
came back with, but I still can out deadlift you. And I just didn't text back for 2 days. Yeah. I had nothing to say.
He sat on us all day.
I had nothing to say.
That is his card. Yeah.
That's my only card.
That
is fine. No, when it comes to citrulline, I want to cover this because people are listening right now thinking, well, what are you guys talking about? Citrulline increases circulating arginine in the blood better than arginine does.
Yeah, converts better in the gut.
And that's what it is. It's because the theory is to have increased arginine in the blood, you get more nitric oxide, you get a better pump, or you get a better blood flow. So these supplement companies will put a ton of arginine in their product, but that gets degraded and destroyed when you consume it. Citrulline is what does. Now, I got a question for you. Is citrulline more expensive than arginine? Is that why?
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes,
see, that makes sense then.
Yes. It is more expensive. For us to go just from 6 grams per serving to 8, did change the price. So we had to move things because you don't want to take your price point up because it'll affect consumers, but it is more expensive. Yeah.
Now, here's a question. When they on the studies that are done on citrulline for you know, for arginine levels in the blood. What's the dose that they typically use? I thought it was 3, but I'm not. I don't know if I'm mistaken.
The efficacious dose I've seen in studies is anywhere from 3 to 4.5.
Okay,
But it is also size dependent. So when,
what do you mean by that? Like how big the person is?
How big the person is? Correct. Gotcha. And so, yeah, I mean, I've seen, yeah, studies from 3 up to 4.5. But those studies were usually based on when they did show the weight of the person, individuals from 180 to 210 pounds. So when we built our pre-workout, we dosed off of me at 250 pounds. And that's, you know, and I've done it. We've done it both ways. I've done it with a serving of 3 grams and I've done it with a serving of 6. And there is a significant difference in muscle pump muscle.
Well, I will say this. I know we normally come across as anti-supplement, but when you look at the ingredients of products, you definitely have effective doses of each ingredient.
Right.
I have yet to see a pre-workout with that much, you know, citrulline in just
one
serving.
Well, that was the thing is we wanted to, you know, I mean, how many times do you guys use pre-workouts? You're like, I got to take 3 or 4 scoops. It's like we wanted to make it so we had efficacious dosages of, you know, the 4 or 5 major ingredients all in one serving.
Oh, yeah. You don't need 2 scoops of your shit.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. If you do, it'll be an issue.
I remember the first time I tried it, dude. I was like, holy fuck, bro. Yeah. I'm not going to need a pre-workout for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm set, dude, for the rest of the day.
It'll be a long night. It. I mean, you can try to rub one out later. Your forearm will get a pump and it's nothing's ever happened.
I have like this cupboard. Supplement companies like send us supplements all the time, right? Trying to get us.
I can't imagine why. Do they ever listen to your show?
That's the thing. I don't think they listen.
This is the irony of what
they
we get.
And then they
this
do.
This is the
and
big joke over. On Mind Pump right now is that we get all these people that and they see the best part too. They stroke you off too. They're like, oh, we love your show, but they talk all this stuff like that, and then I'm like, if you really listen to our show, you know I couldn't even rep this if I wanted to rep this. It doesn't matter what you made. I've already burned that bridge a long time ago.
Anti-supplements and anti-revenue. That's Sal's motto. That's awesome.
It's a new business plan.
We break all of it. Well, looking at some of the trends in the industry, do you see any trends that you see?
I mean, you and I talk about all the time. Yeah. The trend is towards, you know, natural supplements and it's going to get there. I think that you still have a market segment of I hate to say it, but there's still a lot of meatheads that are still going to want to use the artificial supplements and stuff.
Right.
But again, if you want to think of big picture revenue, you want to think of everyday customers.
Sure.
You know, and that, to be honest, that's why Quest is such a big company, is because people don't look at Quest as the mom who buys Quest bars and puts one in her kid's lunch or keeps them in her purse or whatever. They don't look at Quest bars as a protein bar. They look at it as something healthy, a healthy alternative. Whether you agree with that or not, that's arbitrary. But that's where the supplement industry is going to trend towards, because let's think about it right now.
Because like Quest outsells
ridiculous
every supplement that's out there.
Quest outsells every supplement company combined,
and that's because they're not selling to people who take supplements.
Right, they're not selling people who take supplements. People who buy supplements is a very, very small market. I mean, it's like you go to the Olympia Expo. I mean, like they can't even like fill the place, and that's like the mecca of like the big weekend of like fitness and bodybuilding. Nothing against the industry, but it's so small.
So small.
You can take the most popular person in the fitness and bodybuilding industry and go ask 4 of your neighbors, like other than Arnold, but they've never heard of that person.
That's true.
That's what it is. But it's now, because of social media, things are becoming a little more mainstream. Like you said, supplement companies are going to trend towards natural products. You know, I mean, whether you have science to support it or not, but who wants to put all that artificial stuff in their body for years and years? We don't have any long-term studies on it, because supplements really just started coming about in the last 10-12 years.
And it's not only that. I mean, I'm not no knock on anybody, but they also didn't know to study for certain things.
Of course not.
So how do you know? You're testing for toxicity. They're not toxic.
Right.
They tested for, you know, adverse effects within the test period of time, which the tests were done for 3 months, 6 months,
right,
or even long studies were 1 year, 3 years. But they're not looking for things like gut flora changes. They're not looking at long-term autoimmune issues. And I'm not saying that those things happen. I'm just saying these are things that they didn't look at.
We just
at.
Don't know.
We don't know.
No one's known to look at it. And we'd all be fools to think that there's not going to be something that's going to come up at some point. You know,
I will say this, man. If you existed 15 or 20 years ago,
I did. I was there. You just hadn't heard of me.
Son of a bitch. But my point is, if this was 20 years ago, we wouldn't even be debating, or we wouldn't even be discussing how you need to eat less protein than they say.
Yeah.
So it's already evolved so rapidly in a very short period of time. As a matter of fact, I can't remember this conversation happening 5 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I mean, let's look at the myths that everybody.
I'd like to think Mind Pump had a little part of that, but I have a
No, it's true. Let's be honest.
Claim it
there,
anyway.
There's, I don't want to say a handful, but there's maybe a small group of individuals, you know, you guys, myself included, that you know, however we got the information, we were able to spread it through social media. I credit Lane Norton a lot of it. Lane Norton did a great job in exposing a lot of myths, mm-hmm. and he didn't have a big
especially in bodybuilding. He definitely came out there with the coach. His coach, that was like his big claim, or that's how I found him, was attacking coach, like getting after coaches with poor metabolic damage.
I barely heard of Lane Norton, but somebody turned me on to the metabolic damage. I remember I put it on my Facebook fan page a couple years ago, and it trended. I mean, there was like 8,000 or 7,000 shares, you know, like a, you know, 130,000 likes, and his and that was how he contacted me. He's like, someone told me you shared my video. It had like 400 views, and it went to like 75,000. And then, you know, then you find a good source. You start researching stuff, start seeing more of their videos, and then like minds, you know, group together. But I mean, let's be honest. 3 years ago, everybody was, I mean, fuck, even 6 months ago, people were like, wait a minute, what do you mean eating 6 to 8 meals doesn't speed up my metabolism? You know, like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, if I eat, you know, carbs after 8 p.m., they get stored as fat. Like, people still believe that. It's just a smaller percentage. But I mean, 2 years ago, all of those these myths, these idiotic myths, people accepted as fact.
Well, you know? I feel it's
fish thins your skin. The fucking the dude who won the award with the fake trophies keeps saying fish thins your skin. What's his name? Phil Heath. Fish thins your skin. Unbelievable. That's he must own tilapia or something.
or stalking it. Yeah. How do you thin your skin? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I think this is good. It's a good trend. Of course, as things start to change, you start to, you know, push out some of the garbage. More garbage will come in. That'll get pushed out. But I think it's good because for a long time, fitness or the fitness industry has not been the answer. And what I mean by that is we have an obesity epidemic. We have chronic health epidemics in this country. We've got a lot of misinformation out there. And fitness, rather than being the solution, has been a contributor to a lot of that. So people aren't, you know, there's nowhere for them to turn. You know, they go to Western medicine. They're sick. They're overweight. Western medicine gives them this, you know, here's your prescription. They do it. It doesn't work. Where do they turn? They couldn't go anywhere before, and fitness wasn't it. And now I think fitness, and I might be premature in my projection, but I think in a very short period of time, just because of the way I see how quick trends move nowadays with social media and with the internet, I think in less than 10 years, we see a dramatic shift in the industry. I think wellness and fitness are
combined.
I think they're combining. It's already starting to happen. Look, if you go on, like, you go on iTunes and look at some of the top health and fitness podcasts, they're like, you know, Bulletproof Executive Dave Asprey. Yeah. You know, he talks about, you know, eating ketogenic and, you know, following things that in the past were considered taboo. You look at some of the, you know, like you said, with the information with small meals, like 3-6 months ago, nobody was talking about that. So I see it happening very, very rapidly.
Oh, yeah, because 6 months to a year ago, a company called Six Pack Bags came out of nowhere and fucking blew up, too. I mean, that's still kind of a hot trend. Right. I mean, that was it's definitely still huge in the industry. You know, the last time we all got together, talk about things, how fast stuff changed. We got together and we were talking a little trash about a supplement company that, you know, built itself on social media and all this. And man, I have seen some serious.
You're talking about Rips?
Pumps.
Shred your butthole,
dude. Nice. Have you seen
some of the pictures that
scars?
Have you seen the backlash that's happening right now?
I've seen some backdoor action of some people. Yeah, I've heard stories about some backdoor action before.
But the backlash. Man, correct me if I'm wrong. A year ago wasn't like this. It's huge now. I'm getting tagged on shit all over the social media because of that.
So I have two thoughts about that. One is that people make mistakes in their past and shouldn't be crucified forever. Sure. Now, so if so-and-so person photoshops their photos, a lot of these photos I'm seeing are 2 years old, you know, or 75 weeks old. People keep reposting. So if you made a mistake and you photoshopped, you know, your ass bigger or whatever, your waist smaller, and you got called out, you deserved it. Do you need to get called out forever? No. However, if you're still fucking doing it, if you're still doing it, like, we can see, like, the lines on the door behind you are curved in because you're sucking in your waist. These people aren't even, it's so bad. Like, you used to have to, like, look for it. Now it's like, oh my God, I can see the wall curving.
Well, you know what? Now I have to be honest. I was completely naive to this.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize there's fucking people that took the time. Find it a pain in the ass that I got to take the time to take a picture of myself.
Who's
got time for that shit?
Somebody actually took a fucking HD camera, shot themselves, staged with great lighting.
Did they put a green screen behind them,
then
too?
Then they uploaded it to the computer so then they could Photoshop it, and then they actually wrote content. Holy, the fuck do they do all day long?
That's right. So that was what I thought, and then the people are like, no, there's an app you can do it. And I'm like, are you like, how far behind the times am I? I just figured out Snapchat. I had Snapchat for 6 months, but I couldn't figure out how to go from like my contacts page to video. And that's horrible. And so I just started posting Snapchats of like pizza and Chloe, my dog. But these people are literally have an app where they put a picture of themselves up and they can alter their body. And I'm just like, fuck, like, does not anybody actually work? Like, what are you doing?
Nah, it's too hard.
But here's the thing. And the other side of that is, all these people that are getting called out for Photoshop, they all look great in real life. Like, they didn't need to do
it. Right? Like, why did you do that?
It's not, the cost benefit analysis of it has not been positive because there's so much backlash. Right. And what it's done is it's led to more scrutiny of everything else. So now it's, you know.
That's a great point now because now it's kind of awakened people to scrutinize a lot of things.
Well, I would like to know if this came from the top. Like, you have to think that because there's quite a few of them underneath. Like, if this was like a direct message from leadership, like, this is what we're going
to
do.
Well, you know what it was originally? Because I have first-person intercoursal relationships with some of these spuds, female pumps.
Plural?
Preds. Yeah. I say intercoursals. Is that a word?
Intercoursals. It is today on Mind Pump.
Yeah. So, originally, some of their internet ads, they were photoshopping them. And I think the girls, or the girls and the guys, the bitches, they took the. I separate girls from bitches because mm-hmm. And I'm not referring to girls as bitches, just the dudes in the leggings are bitches. Okay. That photoshopped their package.
Got you.
Okay, so I'm gonna clarify so all the female listeners, like, did Joe call the girls bitches? No, Joe called the dude with the pink and white leggings photoshopping his package a bitch. That can be very clear. So I think some of the girls and the other hoes, they saw their pictures and ads of Photoshop, so they started, making some changes, and it grew out of there,
Really?
They're like, it morphed into their own.
Oh, internet. You mean like, so the company itself, the ones that they promote and put out there, their 30% off sale or whatever that, those were all modified up there. Yeah.
Here's the thing, and we don't want to separate something. If you take a picture with a photographer, they put it on a magazine, in a magazine, or for an ad, you have no control over what they do. And
that's true.
And those images, now, are images completely Photoshopped, like, to make your muscles look bigger? I mean, it does happen a lot, but I mean, they're more retouched and edited and airbrushed. I mean, that's in People magazine. It's in every other magazine. But I think that people saw that. And I think with the advent of all these different types of apps, people started taking their own pictures and adjusting them. And then you had certain people being like, well, here's my 6-week booty progress. And the girl went from no ass to now you have one ass cheek pointing at 10 o'clock on the clock. I'm like, dude, how did her ass do that? I don't understand. Like, there's one cheek here and there's one cheek pointing this way. It looked like arrows crossing. It's just weird.
Well, here's one thing that people love. And this is my advice to these people who are getting called out like this. People love to see other people fall from grace.
Right.
But they also love to see people who fell from grace apologize and come back up.
Look at
Charlie Sheen, man. Yeah. That dude went to shit, came back, and then got put in
like three times,
like a bunch of times.
But
let's
use the sports analogy. So, Andy Pettitte from the Yankees got busted for using HGH. Gave a heartfelt apology, and America forgave him the next day.
That's right.
Everyone was he got his jersey retired. Alex Rodriguez, who's done way more in his career than Andy Pettitte ever did, maligned to this day, and he kind of won the crowd over a little, people fans over, but people still hate him in sports. Guys like Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds who've never come out, people still hate them for the most part, other than local fans. I mean, it's just and it's like, if you make a mistake, just own up to it. I mean, we're talking about that certain PhD. It's like, hey, man, you post something, don't double down on a mistake.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's one of the things I was referring to. Like, you're talking about a gentleman who's got lots of credential and accolades, and I mean, it's like one of the biggest myths in fitness. Like, one of the first weeks of personal training certification is you can't, don't work. You can't work your lower bicep, right, or you can't whatever. He comes out with this post. I refute it. But then he came back and doubled down, and he split hairs to the point where it was just so confusing to his listeners, talking about sarcomeres and their studies that show. And therefore, it can actually happen just to justify what he said, when in reality, you get no noticeable effect whatsoever. It'd be impossible. It's like, that's what I'm talking about, because now I'm pretty sure someone else is getting now. He might be getting some heat from that.
Well, it's kind of obvious. I feel like I don't know him personally, so I can't speak what the man is like. But I feel like
let me interject, because I do. He's a hell of a nice guy, and from what I know, and always been very gracious. And let's first say that in no way are we saying the guy is full of shit, because I find him to be the majority of his information to be excellent. And people think that I was like, when I reposted your post,
yeah,
they're like, oh, but you used to know him, or you were on the cover of his hit book. I'm like, I never said that the guy doesn't know anything. I just said this topic. That's it. Yeah. It's like if I gave someone a stock tip or a business tip or anything and I was wrong, does it mean I don't know anything? No, I fucked up once. I made a mistake, or my opinion was wrong. You know, I mean, my opinions are wrong all the time. You know, I mean, 3 years ago, I thought you could work your lower biceps because I had so-and-so douchebags on YouTube telling me. Then I had to actually research and be like, why does my fucking arm hurt so much? I'm trying to work an area that can't be worked. It's called a ligament, you know?
Well, no, that's an excellent point. That's basically, I don't like the, you know, I'm going to throw, you know, I'm so formally educated and these people aren't type of deal, and that. That kind of stuff just comes across as pompous. And what ends up happening, I think, when you make that argument is people feel that. Because the average listener, here's the deal. The average listener or the average viewer or whatever doesn't have those credentials. So when you're talking about someone else that doesn't have those, you're also talking shit about the person that's listening to
like
you.
He personally,
that's the way it comes across.
He personally attacked Mark, you know, and was like, you don't have the credentials that I have and this and that. And like, I'll put Mark's, like with yours, I'll put Mark and your knowledge of science up against anybody I know in this world. Because you guys are high IQs and high retention of information, and you put in the time to study it, and Mark destroyed him in a direct message, and you saw his professionalism unravel with like the name calling. And I remember looking at him being like, God, he sounds like me attacking someone. But the difference is I'm not a PhD. Yeah, like I'm not, you know, like I'll convey information that I see and stuff, but I'm not someone who conducts studies and this and that. Like, dude, like you're a PhD and you're like name calling like a 12-year-old to somebody who's just because they're proving you wrong.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Comes off like it's a whole image that he's created and built, and he's got to kind of live up. That's what the part of me that feels bad, because there's always a part of me when, you know, we say something, we call something out, and then sometimes we see the backlash that it creates, and it's like, you know, our intentions aren't to go around and bully people. We've never been like that. No, we didn't create this show to be like that. Like, you know, even what's happened to the Shreds company and stuff like that. You know, we never at once got together and said, oh, let's intentionally try and harm this business or that. They were just a perfect example of what we were talking about. This is exactly what's
totally
wrong.
Fit the mold.
I mean, we kind of did have a group text message where I was like, hey, let's come down and talk shit about this. But that did come from me, so yeah. I'm just saying. Let's be Adam. Was like, well, if you're in there, you want to have lunch and get on the radio, sure. Right. I'm like, okay, yeah.
So I got a question for you, Joe. You've been the last time we saw you, which was a while ago, you weren't using bands too much in your training,
right?
And now you're using bands quite a bit. Yes. It looks like maybe once or twice a week you post a video.
Yeah, at one point I was working them in, you know, almost every workout, and so I was doing it in phases. Like you, when I talked to you more about training, so I was working in higher volume, lower volume, and then I went a lower volume phase, more increased frequency. You know, just like we talked about, not sticking to one training style and understand why you're doing things. You know, at a point where I was, you know, sometimes it's on leg day, it's you know, lower volume but heavier weights, you know, lower reps. Mm-hmm. And next time it's higher volume and more supersets. And, you know, I started to find greater, you know, when you use that progressive tension overload using the bands, mm-hmm. The muscle contraction and the stress on the muscle is so different
it
from
is,
pressing
right?
free weights. I mean, think about it. Like, we didn't realize it until one day Mark and I were squatting, and it's like taking 500 pounds out of the hole is nothing. But when you hit the midpoint and those blue bands start to stretch, I got like, think about it. Everybody who has ever squatted, when you get halfway up in the squat, there's no way you're falling, right?
No, you're past the hard part.
Dude, I have a video with the two blue bands on, and I was maybe a third from the top, and the band started, and I crushed me and pulled me to the ground. I mean, it was over 800 pounds of tension, but like, that's how you think about it. So when you're squatting or you're bench pressing, you're really only doing half the rep at like full force. Like as you start to cross up towards the top of the rep, the tension becomes rapidly less.
That's definitely a bell curve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, but when you introduce the bands, it changes everything.
It's amazing, because 5 years ago, if you approached anybody who was muscular and you said, hey, add some, you know, rubber bands to your training, they would have laughed at you.
I mean, people in the gym, when I talk about resistance bands, people be like, what? They think it's the little tiny ones, but then now everybody in my gym uses them all the time. Like everybody.
Well, yeah, they see I'm sure the results you're getting from it.
They see the gorilla squatting 800 pounds. He must be fucking working. I'll take some of those.
But I mean, what it like does to your chest. You can grab 20-pound dumbbells, wrap the
grease. Can wear a fucking tutu in there squatting the next fucking week. Every fucking
somebody's gonna be wearing one.
So you saw that video.
100%.
I explained how the tutu, how it loops under and connects.
Yeah.
It put a nice pressure on my posterior chain.
That motherfucker's doing it. I'm gonna try this.
It allowed me to deadlift more. bar. It brought my hips under me. So, yeah. The tutu actually was very good.
No, I think it was power lifters that were the ones that really started using bands first.
Yep.
And then it went, and it just went from there. And the first time I ever used a band, I was just blown away. I mean, for me, when I squat, like most people, like you said, I'm the weakest at the bottom, right? At the hole. Right. So adding that band made it easier at, you made it harder at the top where I was strongest and lightest at the bottom. And it just was, it matched my strength curve.
The strength increase is unbelievable. And then just the added tension, the muscle, the forced muscle growth, because you're increasing the tension towards your strongest point, which you want. You know, it's like, you know, you can do an easy curl, you know, and wrap the band to it under a bench. And it's like, when we get to the top, man, like when that tension starts to kick in, what it does to the flexion of your bicep. Same thing with a dumbbell press. Wrap the band and grab, you know, 220-pound dumbbells. Yeah. It's unbelievable the kind of pump and contraction you get in your chest, you know, from adding.
Here's the other thing I noticed with bands. It doesn't seem to cause as much damage like weights do. And this is one of the reasons why I love – because I use bands probably at least three times a month at least in a workout, which is pretty frequent for something to be thrown into a regular routine. And I noticed that I can overload my body, but it's not like I overloaded it with weights where it tore me up. And I recover like I did anyway.
It's
relieving
the tension on your joints and it's increasing it, into your extension or whatever the exercise is.
That's a really – he said is a really good point. Yeah. I've noticed that too. It's allowed me to fatigue and stress my muscles more, but I don't feel the pain like in my shoulders, you know, like doing chest and stuff, because you're not holding those heavy weights. You're not holding 130, 140 pound dumbbells. You're holding 40 pound dumbbells, but with a band, but you're the combination of it at the top of the rep, maybe 120, 130 pounds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just the way it affects your body. And you're not putting so much stress on the joints, you know, and that's the thing about most people, that as you get a little older, the longer you lift, you're going to get injured at some point. You know, and it's doing things with improper form or just doing things too much of one thing, like the bench press. Like, it's not good. It's not good for you.
You're marrying two great things. You're marrying cables and free weights together. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what that you're getting the best of both worlds and marrying.
Well,
them
see, bands are unique because I'll give you an example. Like another form of progressive resistance are chains, right?
Yes.
If I put a chain on a barbell, it's lighter at the bottom, heavier at the top, just like a band. However, when I use chains or when I've had clients use chains, it tears them up more than bands do. You get more damage from chains than you do from bands. Bands have this amazing ability to, you can use them frequently. This is why in our MAPS anabolic program, MAPS Red, we advocate for the use of bands for trigger sessions. One of the reasons is because it doesn't damage you like weights do or like other types of progressive resistance. So
I have noticed the difference with chains. I think that's more because, I think that something has something, I could be totally wrong, but with bands, you have a certain pull or a certain downforce in a specific direction. There is still sway front to back. But with the chain, especially when you get to the chop, it's so much extra weight, but that chain can sway, it can move.
You still got to balance it.
You still got to balance it. It puts a lot of stress on the joint, because we've done it with, you know, like incline bench press with the bands versus the chains. And it can be the equivalent of the same weight, but at the top of the rep, I feel it dramatically different, the stress on my shoulders, even into my elbows from using chains versus bands.
The only other thing that's similar, really, like if you guys heard of the ARX machine?
No.
It's basically
is that one?
It's like a mechanized version like of a cable machine. So they go through software. So they do exactly, they try and mimic your natural strength curve.
So it changes the resistance software, as you go through the resistance.
But I mean, the thing is a monstrous, and you're not going to see it in like barely any gyms. So
no, I think bands are perfect.
Expensive.
I don't see
bands
anything,
are perfect.
Same concept, but
yeah. I don't see anything replacing bands. I like chains too, but bands are more versatile and you can use them more frequently.
Yeah.
And the thing about bands that I like, I don't know if you've done this yet. Have you experimented with attaching it at different angles?
Yes, absolutely. We do it with back all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we'll the other day we were supersetting deadlifts, and I would take the band and wrap around like the squat rack pull, do it high and do high to low pulls, low to high pulls. I mean, yes, just changing at different angles the way it affects, because you can. A lot of times when you pull like a cable or you pull a bar, you know, like you can only pull a certain way. Your elbows have, like when you do a bend over row, like, you know, do those pendulet rows, you know, you pull too high, you're going to feel a pinch a little bit in your scapula. You know, you pull too low. There's a sweet spot where you got to pull. But with the bands, you can move your elbows a little bit, drop your traps a little bit, and it almost like affect like a different part of your back.
Well, the band is going to mold to your body's natural path it wants to take.
I appreciate you guys all filling in
man,
how I'm not effectively explaining stuff today with good verbs and adjectives. Good. Appreciate that. Yeah.
No,
what
here for
see
you,
what happens when I don't have alcohol and Red Bull? Horrible.
We got some. Doug, mix some. The one thing that I've used the bands for in a deadlift for example, was on lockout, I'll attach the band so it's kind of coming out away from me at an angle.
Right.
So when I pull up, I get resistance, but then I got to pull back harder.
Right, you have to force back.
At the very
back.
Top
yeah,
of the movement.
That's actually smart, yeah.
So that's one of the ways I like to use it. And I love bands. I use them about 3 days.
Just think about how else would you mimic that with freeway? You couldn't.
It's impossible. You have to change gravity.
Yeah, yeah.
There'd be no way to do it. Yeah. So just one of my favorite tools.
That'll be that next.
Changing gravity.
That'll be possible. That'll be what's his name's next video. On top of the lower bicep video.
I'm going to change gravity.
My new supplement, and if I do curls, I can actually alter gravity to hit the posterior chain, and I have XYZ science to prove it. Yeah.
I would say I think you're going to see more bands in gyms as we move along. It's starting to become more popular. When you got guys like you using them, then you start to see the mainstream.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's unbelievable that one, we were squatting, right, Mark? I was squatting, and I remember I finished the video, and I was like, I fucking hate rubbers, right? That's just the only tagline I put on social media. People come up to me in the airports. People yell out to me at nightclubs. I'm in Scottsdale. They're like, Joe Donnelly, I hate rubbers. People post on my fan page. I had to block my mother from Facebook. She's like, Joseph, text me. Why are all these people commenting saying that they hate rubbers just like you? She's like, why are you not using it? I'm like, Mom, that's not what they mean. I tried to explain, but she has no concept of it. She just thinks that her son is promoting unsafe sex.
Yeah, like, put a rubber on for that.
I was just like, Mom, it's not. No, she doesn't understand. She's like, well, Joseph, you should
raw-dogging
be, you
so
should be a
better.
Role model. I'm like, I am, but you don't understand. That's not what I meant, but she didn't get it. So,
now,
yeah.
Joe, do you have your own band company or do you work with, you do?
No, I have my own band company and it's the first order they screwed up from China. So they're resending now.
So
but yeah,
are they? You don't have any for sale yet.
No, they will be soon. Probably 2 to 3 weeks. They're coming. Yeah,
you should. We should do like a thing for Mind Pump listeners. You can hook them up with like something since they're big fans of you.
I would be happy to.
All right,
we'll get some discontinued Shreds products and we'll hook them up with some bands. And your gains will go through the roof. We'll give you a free download of the app that makes your ass bigger, and it's perfect.
Are you still doing like performance training, like athletic type training? Do you still do that?
I go in phases. Mm-hmm. So as it starts to get warmer, I start to do more like sprinting and stuff outside. I'm actually going to get back into probably in the next month or so. I used to love to do hand cleans and power cleans.
So the Olympic stuff.
Yeah. So I'm going to get a little bit more into that. I'm moving more in towards a lot of compound lifts now, mm-hmm. minus the bench press and stuff, just because it hurts my shoulders. I just like the way it makes my body feel. You know, there will be a workout each week where I'll focus on some isometric stuff because you have to do some of that. But I'm really enjoying moving weights and focusing on more compound lifts. You know, I think the deadlift started that trend. Mm-hmm. Liking the way it makes my body feel a little bit. You know,
well, better. How do you feel? What do you mean by that?
I feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I think you know, just the way I live my life, with the lack of sleep in the hours and training like that. Too much bodybuilding stuff, it wears you down, mm-hmm. you know. You don't recover as fast, but I think when you do more multi-joint movements, you do them properly, you know, don't try to take the ego out of it. You know, Adam, we were talking about doing that shoulder press. And I tried it, doing that seated, what do you call that, seated shoulder press?
Z-press.
Yeah, you know, and it's like I haven't really, you know, done any shoulder presses for so long because my shoulder injuries, because they hurt, you know. Like I'll do light ones with bands, but like 20, 30-pound dumbbells, but try to focus on contraction and proper form, pressing them out. But I haven't done like overhead barbell presses and stuff. And so it's, but now I'm moving more into, you know, multi-joint movements and stuff. And I like the way it makes my body feel.
The evolution.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I love it. The fact that you said it makes the way you makes you feel. This is something that people who are in the, you know, the business of looking a certain way would never say. It was never about how they felt. It was all about how they looked.
Yeah.
As a result, though, let me ask you this now. You like the way it makes you feel. Do you notice any changes in the way you look?
I mean, I think I look better than ever. I mean, I'll say I'm probably.
You look, okay, be
I'm,
honest
I'm
with me.
I'm 11 or 12 pounds heavier than last time.
I was just going to say, I know lean. I said you were bigger and you were made fun of me, but you are.
Yeah.
You are bigger. That's
I am bigger. Yeah, I'm bigger and you know, as lean as ever. And like I said, it's just, you know, I will say certain people's body types respond to certain things.
Sure.
Training one way for too long is, you know, been proven to doing anything one way for too long.
Of course.
Is silly. You know, you need to alter your training style. I think having friends like you guys has opened up my eyes to that. You know, like my father always told me, like, the worst type of business manager is someone who thinks they know everything and is not open to new ideas.
Yeah, for sure.
And you have to be open to new ideas because there's a lot of people that are researching different areas. And now here's the thing. If you go to the gym, if you go and do CrossFit and you're happy with it and you do it because it makes you feel good, that's
sure,
great.
Sure.
Then don't change anything.
Of course.
If you're a doctor, attorney, or you're a father going through, you know, a rough breakup or whatever your reasons are, if that's your outlet and you feel great, then don't change anything. Whatever gives you your pleasure. However, but if your goals are physical performance or, you know, physical appearance or combination of both, you have to be able to open your eyes to new concepts in both nutrition and
better
training.
Pathways.
Absolutely.
There's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it was about 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I was you could have called me a meathead. I was super into just the bro workouts and, you know, eating 7-8 meals a day, whatever. And I had this physical therapist that worked in my facility, and she also had just completed her yoga certification. And she had convinced me, and I wanted to support her because she was going to teach yoga in my facility. So I was like, I'm the owner. I got to do yoga. But I used to scoff at it. And I'll never forget, I did yoga with her. I did it twice a week for, it was like 4 weeks. It was short. And lo and behold, I'm getting stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting stronger with weights. I'm getting stronger with my deadlift. I'm getting stronger with my squat. And that was when things started to change for me, because I started to realize, hold on a second, like there's value in a lot of these different things. And the key really is to be able to utilize them in the way you want according to what your goals are. My goal was to get stronger in the gym and build more muscle. So I wasn't going to train like a yogi.
Right.
But if I utilize some of those, you know, some of that corrective
flex. It'll definitely benefit it for sure.
And functional flexibility, you know, made a huge difference.
Well, right? A big part of the problem with the industry is what you're – exactly what you're saying is you get somewhere like that. There is benefits to that. There's total benefits to what Joe's saying right now. And then everybody gets like infatuated with that one modality in that one way. And then they fucking put everything down on it. And then they feel like they got to defend it to the T. Why
well,
it's the better.
It's
this
also the people that start it, right? They're the ones that want everybody to just do this as the system.
Yeah.
You know, so, it, you know, if it starts there, then they're going to kind of go off with that mentality. So I don't know. It's very tribal.
You actually
know,
have
these modalities.
I still get shocked at how, even now, how closed-minded I can be without even realizing. Like, I'll give you an example. When we started Mind
like
Pump,
like pre-workouts don't work.
You want to get into that?
You don't want to get into that. Trust me.
I'll tell you what. When we started Mind Pump, I understood kettlebells. I understood how to utilize them, but I never really made them a part of my workouts. Justin loves kettlebells and would preach about how they helped him a lot with his shoulder mobility.
Yeah.
And so I started incorporating just a regular kettlebell shoulder press. And I'm blown away by how much that has made me stronger in my barbell movements.
Right.
Simply because it was something different. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what's the difference? I'm pressing something overhead. I'll just use a dumbbell. But it was different enough to change how my body responded. It made a big difference.
So I have a fundamental problem with Justin's Instagram. Because yeah. When sometimes I'm scrolling through and I'm real busy during the day, but I'm trying to like pick up little tips and stuff. So I'll glance at one of your posts or one of yours. But sometimes he posts, like, I know he's knocking people with their made-up exercises.
Oh, right.
And so for a while.
Squeeze some of those in there.
Yeah, so for a while, I'm like, oh, he's making fun of
yourself. Like, is he being serious? Oh, or is he being, yeah.
Always making fun of.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, always making fun of Peggy Hathaway trying to do deadlifts on the leg press, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, right.
But then he'll post something good and I'll miss it because I think he's talking shit. And so then I went back. I went back like a couple weeks and I saw a post and I'm like, one that I saw, I thought was him talking shit turned out to be a valid explanation. And I'm like, there has to be like a graphic or something
right.
He puts on.
Maybe I'll
there.
Make them in different colors.
Yeah, just something. Because
right.
I'm missing valuable
information.
I see
what you're saying.
You know?
I see what you're saying.
Because I get caught
well,
up in
the comedy.
Well, I'm
trying to be funny. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
you do a great
thing,
job.
But like, yeah at the same time, like, you know, trying. I know I've been in the industry just as long as everybody else in here. You know what I mean? And so it's like. I see it all, but then I try and put a sarcasm in there too.
Oh, it's hilarious!
You know, it's like,
well, you
it's
talk
a tough balance.
You talk on your Instagram like you're talking to us, and we fucking know you, so we get it,
right?
Well, there's
a flaw there.
I want to touch on for a second these people, like changing these exercises in the gym. Like somebody posted,
oh my god, that's my favorite.
They're
to
like
pick apart.
They're like doing the standing leg curl. On a lay down leg curl. I'm like, time out. Wait a minute.
Oh, there's a standing leg curl machine right next to
it. It was right in the background of the video. You saw it too. I'm like, furthermore, if you're laying down versus standing, it's the same fucking thing. You're still in a vertical position, but you're just laying down. Like, what do you mean? But the machine was right behind you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like seated calf rests on the lat pull down machine. I'm like, just go use seated calf rests or put weights on your knees.
It's just silly.
Hey, the craziest one, and this guy, I believe he's a pro. I believe he's a pro men's bikini guy too. He's on his knees on the
swing. Wait a minute, Tom. Froman's bikini guy on
he
his
just
knees.
Said
it. I'm not shocked.
It gets better.
All to get third place. Yeah. Yeah.
He's on his knees with a Smith machine on the side of the Smith machine on the where the track part is, and he's got the side where you load the weights, and he's on his knees and he's doing you know, working his inner chest.
Oh, where he's pressing it up.
Inner chest one is my favorite.
Yeah, he's working the inner chest on the Smith machine on the side of it on his knees. It was some this like.
Wait, so he didn't have like the barbell attached to the landmine? He was on the Smith machine?
Yeah.
But doesn't he realize it's on two rails and it's going to like catch on one side? So he's retarded and also stupid. That's
Wow.
Well, pretty much. And look, we do have open minds, but here's the deal. There's a cost.
Not that open.
Here's the deal. It's a waste of time. That's all. It's like, if I'm going to do something that's going
like
to give
an
me,
idiot.
It's going to give me 1% return for 40 minutes being spent. Why? Definitely. Why when I can go get, 70% return and spend 20 minutes?
And I always feel like I have to explain myself when I call that shit out, because then I always get a bunch of fucking idiots that, come after me and be like, why? At least he's in the gym doing something. Everybody's so super positive. Everyone's all like, we're here to, all the fitness people are all inspirational,
you're
everything.
Just saying what's in your head.
And heaven forbid a guy like me comes along and be like, that's fucking stupid. Right.
Hashtag good vibes.
This guy looks like an idiot. Yeah.
You know why they do that? You know why people do that, I realize? It's because they're hoping if they keep saying good vibes only on my page, so no one will attack them. It's like, it's like there was certain men's physique clowns that all of a sudden became, Jesus freaks after they won their men's physique Olympian. It's like, dude, be like, you just knocked out your girl and we're doing a bunch of blow the other night and might have gotten head from a transvestite. Like, and now you are a Jesus freak, but you're still in Vegas partying, doing drugs and whatever. But I'm sure on Sunday morning, God forgives you, because that's how the world works. So these people post like these quotes from Christ and good vibes only because they don't want anybody to attack their page. It's just like,
they'll delete or block anybody.
Yeah, they'll block anybody.
That's one. I'll tell you what. One of the things I respect most about you is you don't do that.
No, I like to argue back.
When I go, I love it, man.
Are you kidding?
When I go in your comment section,
come at me.
There's people that talk shit just to get you to say something back to them.
Absolutely. But here's the thing.
But you don't block them.
But I tell Adam, I'm like, listen. But listen, if you think because you can throw a few punches, you want to step in the ring with Ali, you better well know. Like, dude, like, and if you're I have a problem with people with private pages. Like, dude, like, you're going to come attack me and talk shit, but your page is private? Like, come on. Like, come on, private page guy. But if your page is public, man, best believe I'm a quick researcher. I will fucking have 5 points to bury you. Oh, you used to date a girl named Linda back, 108 weeks ago? Guess what? Linda used to blow me when she worked the bar near my house. Like, I will fabricate stories, and I will tag some of my followers, and they will all chime in, and you will want to hate your life. I mean, how many times in the past 6 months have I had guys delete their Instagrams? Because they try to come at me in a post and I tore them to shreds. Like, God, if you catch me at the end of the day when I'm on my game and Adderall hasn't worn off yet, you're fucked. I'm just saying, man.
Instead of blocking.
Why block? Who cares? It's all good. And dude, if anybody takes that stuff seriously, you got a fucking fundamental.
Well, if you don't, to me, you're a halfwit if you don't realize that, just like I keep trying to tell Sal to be more like that, because you bait people.
Yes.
And you always
bait someone? Yeah. Never.
And I get it. You know what I'm saying? And I try to tell Sal all the time, like, dude, when you do something that's way too smart, like where there's nothing debatable in it, where lay out all the science.
I'm not interested.
You're just going to get a couple of nerds to like say, oh, cool, nice post. That's it. Like, no one's going to come on and talk shit to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what you got to do is you got to say some real ignorant shit. Yes. You know what I'm saying? That's going to get everybody angry. Then you fucking drop the hammer on them.
That's the formula, dude.
So that was with Mark. I mean, I was like, dude, I'm like, you're so opinionated, but so intelligent. I'm like, you need to be an asshole on Instagram.
Mark is the most extreme, I think.
Dude, it was like, opening Pandora's box and giving it a push in the ass and saying here, thumbs up. Like, dude, he took it and ran with it to the point where, like,
he went to
it. Sometimes I look at his page, I'm like, did you fucking really write that? Like, holy shit.
I
love his page.
No, I thought he was like some young punk kid at first, bro. When I first looked at his page the very first time, I was like, dude, this fucking kid is crazy.
It's so offensive.
He doesn't write all crazy long posts. You can't tell he's really intelligent until he starts commenting and talking to someone. And I'm like, oh shit, this ain't no fucking kid. Who is this?
Yeah, he will bait
you in. I'm following now. Who is this?
He will bait you in, and then when, like, Jim Stepani, like, he baits Jim, and then he destroys Jim in DM, and then Jim just like, I can't handle someone to block him.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you know why? Because he thought he was a fucking kid, too.
Exactly. That's
why he's like, I'm going to punk this little kid. Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Now let me ask you this, because you go to all the fitness conventions. We have yet to go to one.
I've honestly been avoiding. I mean, the only one I've gone to the last 2 years has been the Olympia.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I pulled back. I mean, I went to San Jose.
You didn't go to Arnold or anything?
No.
Oh, you did it. Oh, okay.
It's just, you know what it is, man? It's like, I try to steer clear as much. One, because of the time constraints. My time is better spent elsewhere doing things. And also because, I try to separate myself as much I can from that world. I know a lot of people have to be part of that world. That's their business. But my business works better for me being separated. And also, and I hate to sound negative, but reality, it's the truth of that. you get too immersed in that world. You get too immersed around those people. You're gonna get caught up in some negative circles of things. Sure. Of, you know, people pretending to be your friends, but then they're jealous of you because of your success. And I see it, man. I see people. I'm like, dude, you were just at dinner with so and so girl in Vegas, and now you're hating on her, running your mouth. It's like, I don't want to be around those people. Like, everybody loves to talk about everybody because they're not as successful as so and so. And it's just like, you know, why subject yourself?
It's unfortunate, but it's a main reason why I have no desire to compete anymore. And everyone keeps asking me, and I feel like because I did this whole journey thing on it, and like everybody now wants me to see me like finish, the, like keep going, like try and get on Olympia. And there's a part of me that kind of wants to keep going through all of it. But then there's another part of me like, I don't want anything to do with that shit, dude. It's so.
Well, here's the thing. If it was truly a fair playing field, and it, you know, but the problem is it's a subjective sport, and it's a very biased subjective sport, you know, especially the way the IFBB and the way things have moved. I mean, it's become so obvious in the larger, you know, regional shows that sponsors are buying wins for people. You know, are we surprised? No, but it's so in your face now. And the stories that come out, you know, in Muscular Development and stuff of, you know, so-and-so judge was like, yeah, they're like, well, the scoring was this and this, but we didn't use the scoring to judge, you know, like, talking about Kai Greene and Cedric McMillan. That was the most interesting story of the Arnold. Was like, wait a minute. But according to the points, like, Cedric should have won, like, but you're saying we just threw out the scoring system and said, eeny, meeny, miny, you. Like, so, I mean, it's just like, I mean, if the best man can't always win, or
what's the point then?
What's the point? You know,
not making a big business out of it, right?
You know, it's all designed. It's all designed as a funnel system to pick out the people who are going to represent these companies and sell these products. That's it. Absolutely. It's like American Idol, but on stage. Right. And
here's the thing. I have no problem with that because it's not. Everybody has to understand the IFBB is not a sports federation. They are not recognized as a sports federation. They're a company. That's it. They try to list themselves as a nonprofit, which they're going to end up being in court for that. But they're not a sports federation. So to think they're supposed to be conducted like a sports federation is foolhardy. I think we're competitors, especially, you know, you young people that want to compete. If you want to compete and you want to do it for you and you want to, you know, prove someone, you go ahead and do it. But you always have to understand that just because you may look the best at the show, especially these young girls, it doesn't mean you're going to win. It doesn't mean you may even place well. There's so many competitors at so many shows, you're likely to get overlooked. Now, you may be that one girl who's got a great look and a great physique, and somebody may sign you to their team or whatever and then promote you up through the sport. But you have to understand that there's more. You're going to do better in the sport, not on how you look or how hard you work, based on who you assign yourself with or who you promote you or what are you willing to give up to get wins.
Well, the way I look at it is nowadays, especially if you want to make a living based on how you look, in that world, you're probably better off just doing it yourself through social media and promoting yourself that way.
100%.
Like, you don't have to compete. And a lot of, actually, some of the most famous people on Instagram never competed or barely ever did.
So I think if you had to take a poll of the highest paid people in the quote unquote fitness and bodybuilding industry, none of them are competing. Oh. I mean,
no, if you said paid, for sure not.
Yeah. I mean, the popular
ones, maybe.
Yeah. The people that are highest earners, you know, people that are, because here's the thing. And I feel bad because there are some men's physique guys that I like, and I like their message and stuff, but they're spending so much time flying around the world, you know, to go to Australia and doing this and all. And that's great, man. If you have the opportunity to travel, use that window and do it. But let's be honest, you're going to all these events and you're going to all these shows and you're dieting and doing this. When are you taking the time to cultivate personal business for yourself? Like, sure, okay, you're doing some online training. It's putting some money up. I came out with some t-shirts. But, dude, that's a narrow window of when it's going to matter. Like, what are you doing in the long term? Like, what is your 6-month plan, your 18-month plan, your 72-month plan? Where do you see it? Like, if you're not sitting down and you've got 200,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 followers and you don't have a clear-cut plan or someone helping you with where are you going to be 3 years from now, 6 years from now, 9 years from now,
you'll be screwed.
You're a fucking idiot. Like, if you're just living for the next show and signing autographs and making an appearance, you're a fucking fool. And so a lot of these guys, you're gonna see you know, that candle burns out here today, gone tomorrow, and it's gonna burn out quick because, you know,
you can't get on stage forever.
You can't get on stage and they're wasting so much time traveling. They're not putting time, whereas the people that are, you know, I'll be honest, so like the Shreds athletes, guess what? I know some of their grinders. Like, people can hate on Devin Physique and like, he can be a tool with some of the stuff he says or in his photoshopping pictures. But I know he's one of the hardest work ethics ever. Like, kid doesn't drink, doesn't go out. Mm-hmm. Him and Chad McBain, I've heard, like, they sit on their computers. They pull, like, all-nighters, Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, I believe it. Look at all the content he puts out.
And they grind. They grind through emails, and they work, and they put marketing stuff together. So say what you want about their message, and, you know, we can all be – I'm a fucking douchebag. I don't give a fuck. I mean, it is true. But I respect the work ethic. I respect the grind and the hustle.
Always.
But that's what the difference is that they're home. They're here. They're not at the call and beckon of someone else having to travel. So they're putting time into themselves. They're building their personal brand. They're building longevity. You know, now, are they doing it smartly? Are they going to have money down the road? Are they going to – who knows? But at least they're putting in the plan, the effort, and trying to execute it, where the rest of these people – you know, it's like, I mean, I can think of, I'm not going to name her, but, you know, a well-known cover model, IFBB bikini pro, very successful. But it's like, once you're in your early 30s and you're not going to compete anymore and you haven't done anything, how many of these girls, like, they haven't had real employment? Well, what skill set do you have when you're no longer going to be on the cover of a magazine, you're no longer getting paid by your supplement company? Where are you going to go? And I'll be honest, it makes me a little upset sometimes. I'm like, because I'm like, I know this girl's a good person and she's inspired people for the last 10 years in the industry and done this, and she's going to end up being 35 and she's going to have nothing. And the gravy train runs out. It runs out real quick, and people need to plan. It's not going to last forever.
Oh, and the gravy, let's be honest, ain't that fucking rich.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest.
That's the problem is everybody thinks that, like, I mean, I remember everyone thought, oh, well, you get a pro, all of a sudden you start making money. Like, there's nothing waiting at the end of the rainbow. It's not like that at all.
I mean, 95% of the IFBB pros I know are broke, living check to check. I mean, it's just, I mean, and here's the thing. If they were all killing it financially, then you wouldn't see them having to, you know, do meal plans online or be personal training clients. They'd be on to bigger business, you know. And it's unfortunate, you know, if you are, you know, what other pro sports do people have to do that? They don't have to have side jobs. I feel like we're kind of like the NFL was in the 50s or 60s, where guys worked in the offseason, you know. Hopefully, maybe in 30 or 40 years or 20 years, it would be awesome if everyone who was an IFBB pro was making $300,000-$400,000 a year. Will it ever get there? I don't know. But it would be great because these people do put in a lot of time, and I know it's hard to get up and do your fasted cardio, which is stupid, and then train clients all day, and then work out at night, and somehow eat your 8 meals of tilapia and asparagus. I mean, it sucks. It does. I hate your life for you. but it doesn't mean that you're not working hard. You don't deserve some type of financial success. But however, most people don't have the intuition or the acumen to go out and develop it for themselves. I'm telling you, they're going to be left at the short end of the stick, and it sucks. It really does. That, and the problem is all of these young people that buy into the smoke and mirrors of social media. They're like, man, I just want to get my pro card. I just want to get sponsored. They think that everything's going to be great. No, it's not. You know, like I saw an email. This girl, we're gonna maybe shoot for the cover of Fitness RX for Women. It was very successful. She used to compete, but she got an offer from Almax. And she's was a big name a couple years in industry. And they're like, we're going to offer you like $300 a month and $300 in supplements. Oh, and she sent me a screenshot. And I was just like, is that what this is? I'm like, someone who's been on like huge covers like you and competed at the Olympia. And I'm like, it's embarrassing. So people out there think that like, you're going to go get $100,000. No, you're not.
No.
Like they might send you like free t-shirts every other month.
Yeah.
Like, wow. No.
I mean, Craig Capurso was the only guy that I met that was an IFBB pro that had a decent contract that he was getting paid by a company.
But if you look at Craig, he grinded. Like, he traveled a lot. Like, he worked.
And he's one of the OGs. He was part of the first men's physique class. And he's sponsored by bodybuilding.com. So he's one of the faces of bodybuilding. Right. I mean, and he's got a very marketable look to him. I mean, you cannot walk past Craig and not recognize who he is. Like,
he's Thor.
Thor. I mean, but that means, I'm talking to you about every pro, every men's physique, all the way from the amateur up that I've ever met. None of them have that business, but he was the only one.
And I'll be honest, and I've seen, and that was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. The contracts weren't what they were 3 or 4 years ago. Like people aren't, they're not paying the most of them are like sales contracts now. Like you may get $500 or $1,000 a month based out. And that's, we're talking about people that are like elite, but we're going to pay you commission on your product codes. You see, everybody now has a product code. They're saying buy Muscle Leg and use, you know, Dwight 15% off or so-and-so pushing this for 50%. Everybody's got a product code because that's the way of social media. It's like if you have a following and you have a quality following, you can, you know, create sales. Shred started that. It was a great business model, and they created these huge platforms with all of these followers, and you know, the girls did huge commissions. And I remember, I'll be honest, some of those girls were making 45, 50 grand a month.
Wow.
But they're not there anymore. The sales are nothing now compared to what they used to be. But that was where everybody took their model off of that. And so you've seen companies like, wait a minute, like, why are we going to pay you, you know, so-and-so bikini pro 100 grand a year? They're like, you know, you should be earning your money, which I kind of agree too, you know, because otherwise it breeds a little bit of laziness. And I've had multiple people tell me, they're like, I don't want a commission contract. You know, I had a men's physique guy who came and stayed with me last summer and trained. He's like, I don't want a commission. I don't have to worry about converting sales. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you're the type of person that I interview. And I'm like, I can offer you a base salary of 50 grand a year. No commissioner, I can offer you 30 grand a year, but an opportunity to make 100 if you hit your quotas. You're the type of guy that says to me,
takes the 50,
and I go, okay, you're going to human resource. Like, yeah, that's how you're going.
Always assign to someone weak as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't have it upstairs to be like aggressive and be like, okay, he's going to give me a quotas and I can hit 100. I'm going to hit one. Like, Adam's type of guy would be like, fuck that, I'm going to hit 150. I'm going to hit 200. I'll take your job in 2 years. Like, always. You know?
You do. You have that. You know why? Because it's the 80-20 rule. 80% of the people are only going to make 20% of the money. 20% are going to make 80. And those people actually don't believe themselves they're even the 20%.
Yeah, they don't. No,
they know. They would want that. Oh, I'll just take my salary where I feel safe. Fuck that.
What was that that movie Office Space where he's like, you know, he's like, I'm basically working just hard enough to just not get fired.
Yeah.
That's like most people are doing.
Most people do that.
Yeah. That's really what it is. You know, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think we could go to a fitness convention. And Adam keeps telling us we need to go. I'm like, I don't think they'll even let us in.
Nah, you could. I mean, listen, dude, if they couldn't throw me out of, you know, after I made all those comments about the IFBB, if they couldn't make me leave the show in Miami last year. Which they tried, but if they
did, they really?
Yeah.
They came up to you.
I got a huge argument with young Mannion. I just berated him in front of everybody and made him apologize to lying for me. And then we took a picture of me and the guys from Quest, and he had his arm around me. It was the funniest thing ever. And Bruce from Quest, like, I can't believe you just verbally berated him and called him a fucking liar in front of everyone and called his dad a pompous asshole and then made him apologize and shake your hand. It's like, that was the greatest fucking thing ever.
We're taking you with us then if we're going. That's
if we're
deal.
Going, we're going to take Joe.
Yeah, we're rolling.
What are they going to do? Get a security guard who's making $10 an hour is going to ask one of us to leave? Bro, you don't want to get your ass whooped for $10 an hour. Nobody, dude, let me tell you now.
The fat kid with the flashlight?
I don't want to have to take any of you guys on and throw you out. And I sure as hell don't want to take me on. If I saw me, I'd be like, fuck, no, I ain't doing that. It's not worth it. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let him walk around.
Yeah, like my dental plan is not full coverage. I'm not doing it. You know, fuck it. You know, yeah. It's very hard to give orders and throw people out that aren't going to take them for me. You
excellent.
Know?
So, well, hey, brother, it's been great having you back on, man.
I appreciate
Anytime, come back on.
Yeah, always. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Please leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and you can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin and Adam at Mind Pump Adam. And don't forget to check out Joe at Joe Donnelly.
Just Google douchebag Donnelly and whatever.
He's all over the place. Yeah.
Or how to antagonize people on social media. Like the first search is Donnelly and then Adam. And then Sal. Or if you can Google Instagram, how to make your family hate you, then Mark will show up. He's like, my own sister messaged me like, we have to unfollow. You're so abrasive. And he looks at me and he's like, wanted me to say something like that was outrageous. I'm like, dude, it's horrible. I look at your page sometimes.
There's stuff that I want to put like a, you know, emoji laughing where I'm like, fuck it, dude, my followers are going to see me laughing. Yeah. They're going to think I'm hella
it's
racist.
Funny.
So I'm
like, it's horrible.
But I'm dying inside.
Oh, like a backhanded like. Like, I can't put it on the front.
Yeah, they need to come out with like a like, but it's not like a full like.
It's kind like, of like, exactly. like a wavering like.
No, no, it's like a
blind
CC. Hilarious. Yeah. It's like, thank God nobody sees that. I like
it's like
this.
I appreciate, like a sort of thumbs up. Like, I appreciate that you made the post, but I'm a little uncomfortable saying I like it. You know?
With a blind CC like, I like that.
The BCC. That's what you need to do.
There you go. That's, that's actually
see
brilliant.
Who liked the post? Oh my God, that's a great idea. Yeah, exactly. Because he'd have like 4 likes, but 1,200 BCC likes.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.